other person that I think is lovely to talk about in this book is an interview about all the different gates around Greenham. So it's, they're camping where military vehicles come out, so they can monitor them, they can obstruct them, and all that sort of stuff. And there is all the different gates have different personalities. You've got Green Gate, which is really eco-feminist and spiritual. You know, Yellow Gate and Yellow Gate Clearing that are very political. So media and visitors, the biggest gate. And you've got Blue, that's very northern, very working class, kind of party gate, because it's near the pub. And then there's a gate that Maria, who's in the chapter in here called Take the Toys from the Boys, she says it's, she says, we were at Violet Gate, and it was slightly odd Violet Gate. It was quite small, and it was the people who weren't sure where else they fitted. And we basically were the write-off gate. And I was like, what does that mean? What is a write-off gate? And she's like, well, you know, all the other gates were very, very right on, you know. They were all like, they were all veggie, and they were all lesbian. And we were like eating bacon and shagging men, so we were like the write-offs. So that's what she says is there. And basically, she says that at Violet Gate, one Christmas, there was an old woman who lives there in her 80s. By then, she's called Elizabeth. And so this is her favourite story that she remembers. And it's about Elizabeth, who lived near Greenham. So she cooked about 100 mince pies. This is a woman who lived outside all year under a sheet of Gore-Tex and was up first every day to make the fire and stuff like that. She's really hardy. So she makes 100 mince pies, and she's like, what are you going to do with those, Elizabeth? And she basically is like, oh, I'm going to take them into the camp, you know. And they're like, well, I'm not going to just let you in. She's like, no, I think they will, because it's Christmas, and they're going to think I'm someone's grandma. And she's absolutely right. She just goes up to the front gates with this man, and they just let her drive in. And then, of course, she just goes straight into all the American squaddies with her loads of mince pies and starts going around the mess hall going, hello, peace and love, peace and love. Have you thought about your life choices? Peace and love, peace and love. Would you take your bombs away? You can have mince pie, peace and love. I mean, absolutely brilliant. And then they basically, very embarrassingly for the military, the British military police, but very confusingly for the Americans, then the military police bundle her out and, like, deliver her back to Violet Gate. They're like, I think this is yours. Can you, like, stop this happening again? And obviously the women are like, well, no, because we're an anarchist camp, we don't stop each other doing anything. Anything we discuss takes a long time, but in a good way. Anyway, so they're like, no, not really, aren't you going to arrest her? And the police are like, well, no, because it's Christmas, and she's like 104 or something, just lock it down or something. And they're like, what are you going to do now, Elizabeth, at the camp? And she's like, oh, I'm just going to go back in. And they're like, you can't, because they're going to impound your car. And she just gets out the biggest pair of bolt cutters they've ever seen. And she's like, no, no, here I go. And off she goes and gets right back in there and starts distributing her mince pies and peas again. So there's stuff like that just happening all the time. And so they are this indomitable, lovable, often very irritating, irreverent bunch of women, just quite often quite gently saying, no, we don't respect that authority. We're not going to be necessarily horrible to you, we're not going to be necessarily definitely violent, but we are just going to not necessarily, you're going to have to earn it back, because we think what you're doing is stupid and we're going to be honest about it. And that leads me on to the next clip, which I think is a scene outside. So a lot of the women obviously went to prison and were arrested. And so this is a clip from how the women went and supported each other. And this is a clip from outside the court after an arrest.
Given the chance to put their case, the first to do so.
Can you keep it down a wee bit, please? Otherwise, you won't hear me. It's important evidence.
The first to do so this morning was 73-year-old Mel Logan, a grandmother and the oldest of three protesters. She said she had lived through two world wars and couldn't just...
Thank you very much, it's safe.
Not all the defendants are giving evidence, but those women who want to have had the chance to put their case. The first to do so this morning was 73-year-old Nell Logan, a grandmother and the oldest of the peace protesters. She said she'd lived through two world wars and couldn't just stand by while these dangerous weapons were being made. I felt compelled to do something for the children and for future generations. Another defendant said a crime was being committed at the base, a conspiracy to commit genocide.
Deliberately did cartwheels in the background of my piece.
She didn't.
Oh, come on. I don't think you're stupid.
I did come and deliberately your back.
Yes,
true.
Exactly, that's all
I don't always do things
I mean, I've seen you here before, but you're deliberately doing cartwheels. cartwheels in the background, and you must know.
Well, there's a
worse. I'm sorry I called you a tit.
It's just brilliant, isn't it? The clash of worlds in that piece is just so lovely. And that does mark a very, I mean, the Greenham women also, again, like the suffragettes, went to prison, campaigned for women in prisons, and again, used that time to put their agenda onto the world stage. They were incredibly clever about how they used what media they could get and also their cases. They brought out all the levels of cruelty and human rights abuses that go into even just making, you know, finding the uranium in the South African mines under apartheid at this time to make weapons and things like that. So they use these trials, even though they know they're going to go to prison, and then they campaign for women when they're in there. And there's a brilliant account by someone called Micah May in here about who now is a female plumber who runs a plumbing agency called Stopcox, which is obviously brilliant. and she says that they had like a mini peace camp outside Holloway to protest that women were being put into prison largely for poverty and being treated really badly. And this policeman really took umbrage with them and kept moving their telling them to move their two tents or something. And she said, we definitely weren't obstructing, we don't know quite why, he really hated us. And in the end, one of the women called him, so may I'm gonna say a W word, I hope that's okay. Yes, called them, except no, called him a wanker. And the policeman managed to get her into jail, into a prison, sorry, into a court for saying she sort of screamed and shouted and stuff at him. And she said, this woman apparently, according to Micah, said, once she had her day in court, she said, Your Honour, I did call him a wanker, but I have a very clear voice. I never, ever need to raise it. It naturally travels. And anyway, even though I said it, to say someone is a wanker is only to say that they masturbate. And who here amongst us cannot say we have never masturbated? And the judge was like, bong, dismissed, gaff, you go, oh yeah. So they're just sometimes that irreverence also, you know, finds them very unlikely allies. But there's also kind of, basically the media sort of really, basically at the beginning of the march, the Women for Life on Earth march that left Wales, there was a sort of, after the Embrace the Base, there was this sense in between the Guardian and things of these were mothers trying to look after their children for a future world. And then basically, Margaret Thatcher gets very worried that she's losing the hearts and minds. So she employs Michael Heseltine, who I've interviewed for a program, a documentary I made for Radio 4 about this. And he is insanely proud of being able to have issued some press releases to an enormously 80s right-wing tabloid press that he feels changed the course of the media. I'm really like, he's also, just sidebar, his whole house is this massive estate in Oxfordshire, and his whole house is covered, all the walls, in massive oil paintings and pictures and portraits of himself. It's so weird. It's like, you really thought you should have been Prime Minister, didn't you? Aww. World's tiniest violin for you. Anyway, so basically, the media turn on them horribly, and there's horrendous media, vile, so lots of, like, you know, hairy lesbians bringing up their children in squalor and filth and blah blah. And they start to come and stay at the camp, the media, and try and catch them out. And there's a story from Bluegate that Penny tells, which is basically about, like, there's a woman who kind of crashes her car near them, and they're like, she's definitely from the press, because she's like the woman in that last clip. She's like, you know, she's not at all. Oh dear, like, and the bonnet's smoking, and she can't fix it. She's like, because anyone here call the AA? And they're like, we'll just fix your car, because that's we can do that. So she fixes it, and she's crying, she's really frightened. So they get her into the camp, and they give her some tea, and then they fix her car, and off she goes. And the next day, the front page of The Sun, there's a big piece saying, manhandled by lesbians at Bluegate, and all this sort of thing. And they're all reading it, and they're like, we literally gave her tea and, like, fixed her car. So there's a lot of, like, stuff like that that is pretty depressing that they have to go through. So the, but the, I think the